Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Matt Chernoff from 680 The Fan's Chuck and Chernoff Show here, and I want to say thanks for listening to today's episode of the Chase Thomas Podcast. You can find it on Apple, Spotify, and all your favorite podcast apps. Chase Thomas went to Parkview in North Georgia. He's a local Atlanta kid, and he won't let the Luka versus Trey thing go. He interned with us back in the day, and you'll always remember him. Anyway, definitely go check out ChaseThomasPodcast.com, where you can find all of Chase's previous episodes, all of his articles, and do him a solid. Leave him a rating and review if you're an Apple Podcast listener. Reminder to listen to our show, Chuck and Chernoff, Monday through Friday, 3 to 7 on 680 The Fan, and subscribe to my podcast as well. Welcome to Matlanta, wherever you get your podcasts.
Chase Thomas Podcast. The Chase Thomas Podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, we're back on a Friday afternoon edition of America's Favorite Sports Writers with two new people, but they're great sports writers, and America is a big fan of them. The polls are in. Yeah, Kelly Cohen of ESPN is here. Kelly, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? I want to see these polls saying that I'm apparently loved and desired.
Well, I have these charts. I have a lot of charts. The charts say what I need them to say. I'm not really into charts that go against my worldview, so I can make some up. Won't take me that long. Dieter Kurtenbach is also here of the Mercury News. Dieter, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good, and I think I have similar charts to yours. I'm always number one in my own book, so that makes a lot of sense.
I think it's a good way to live. The more you can push out reality, the more you can just build your life around your own delusions, I think the happier you will be.
Yep. 100%,
yeah. We're on the same page. We're going to talk about a couple different things today. There's a lot happening in sports. Sports are still happening as we're recording. Everything is subject to change hour by hour, it seems like, for different leagues. The MLS is just like, you know what? Let's just do another season right away. With fans. But we're going to first talk about a crazy week in college football. I want to get your guys' perspective on what is going on. So basically, this past weekend, it feels like 6 years ago, the potential landslide, avalanche, whatever you want to coin it as, where everything was going to get canceled, it was over. They realized they couldn't do it. It was too much to, they didn't want to go down the whole football factory avenue all across the country. UMass just canceled, and that was huge blow to college football fans everywhere. Walt Bell, unbelievable football guy, just can't be topped. If you have not checked that out, I would encourage you to check that out in The Athletic with an all-time quote. Just an all-timer. Seems like a great guy.
Yeah.
Might invite him to Thanksgiving.
It made me sad. It made me really sad.
But college football is happening, at least theoretically. Where I'm at Tennessee. Looks like they're happening. They're playing on limited capacity. They're talking about trying to limit tailgating, so good luck with that. We have the Big Ten and the Pac-12 is out, and the SEC, ACC, and Big 12 are in. I think like the Sun Belt is still in. Kelly, let me start with you. Are you surprised about what all transpired over the last week, and what do you make of the current state of everything? Like, where is your headspace at?
My headspace is spinning around. Like, you know those things that when you were a child and you went to the playground that, you know, we all got on that spun around and spun around and spun around, and when you got off, you probably projectile vomited, but, like, the cool kids kept going on it. That is where my brain is at. As someone who... football is my favorite sport. College football makes me feel alive inside. It's my one true love. All I want in this world of 2020, which has been a horrible year, is to see college football. But that's me being selfish, right? When I think about the pandemic, when I think about lives that are at risk, when I think about everything at play, I'm unsure. And I see the success of these sports bubbles, right? Like right now I'm watching Champions League, you know, I'm watching European soccer where things are, for all intents and purposes, going well. I'm watching NBA games that, you know, if you watched the game last night with the Blazers, like, unreal game in a bubble where there are no fans and everything feels like I'm perspiring sweat and I'm crying because it's such a good game. I see these things working, but then I see the things that are not working. You know, I get an alert every other day about how there's another positive test in baseball, and I think about packing into a football stadium where it's sweaty and, you know, you're high-fiving everyone and you're hugging strangers and there's people without their masks on and there are people that go when they're sick. You know, I'm sure I've gone to a game when I've had a cold or a flu, or I've, you know, gone on the metro when I've not been feeling my best. I know, right? And I know how easily germs get. And then I'm thinking about these livelihoods and thinking about these, you know, there was a big ESPN story this week about, you know, players playing that have heart conditions. But then I think about, you know, the fact that they're young kids and they're probably healthy and maybe they are better off on a college campus where they're, you know, they can be put in this mini bubble and their attendance can be monitored and they can be tracked and followed. But then I'm like, this is not right. We shouldn't. There's so much going on. And ever since I saw the Trevor Lawrence stuff that happened this weekend, I feel like I'm pulled in 1,000 different directions. And I just wish they could get it right. I don't know if this answers your question, but real quick, I think about how I live in this apartment building where we've been, you know, when this started in March, we all thought it'd be done by Labor or by Memorial Day, right? Or, oh, it's only going to be
Easter.
4 or 5 weeks. And now it's been, right. And now it's been however half a year. But my apartment building, you know, they knew a pandemic was going on. They closed down the rooftop. They closed down the gym. They closed down the common area. And then 4 months in, my neighbor and I went to talk to the front desk and they had no plans about how to reopen anything safely. And I was like, you've had 100+ days to figure it out. How did you not figure it out? And it took them, you know, 2 more months to figure it out before they even opened the rooftop, which is outside, right? That's how I feel about the state of football, I guess. That's what I should have started with. You know, you have all this time to figure it out, and you're seeing the successes and the failures in other sports leagues, or even just in other cities and bars and restaurants and gyms in big cities getting it right or wrong. And yet they can't unify and get anything, I feel like, right. So that's where my head is at. I don't know if this helps.
No, that was good. That's what we're doing. We're like doing all these, we're jumping through so many different hoops, mental gymnastics to figure all this out. This is why I'm so just thankful that I don't have any real responsibility and I can just opine and think about this stuff without actually influencing anything. It's amazing because I cannot imagine these.
The thought of not having college football, when I think about just me, myself, and I, like, that's just a selfish feeling, right? Like, my Saturdays and Sundays and Thursdays, and when I get to watch football, I'm a better, happier person. I want to wear my flannel, and I want to wear my hoodie, and I want to drink a nice wheat beer with my friends.
Well, hold on. You don't need to get crazy. Wheat beers? What are we doing here? Wheat beers?
I don't know. But and then I just...
It's fall. It's not
football. I just wish the NCAA was better at this, and it boils down to how I feel about the management in my apartment building, that they had all this time to get it right and they're still managing to mess it up.
Dear, so that's where I stand. What do you think?
good. I like that. Hey, that was spicy. I'm gonna one up. I'm gonna, you know, throw another bit of cayenne pepper and some paprika on this bad boy.
Okay.
I think that this was completely inevitable. Mm. Like, I love the analogy of the apartment building, but like, let's be honest. Why did we expect anything from the apartment building? Like, why did we expect these people to actually be on top of things and understand epidemiology and be able to make, you know, tough decisions? Because there are no perfect answers in this crazy mm-hmm. world ever, much less when everything is on fire. So, the NCAA has for more than a decade now, and arguably since its inception, been deliberately disorganized in the sense of, if they don't have their act together, if it is a confederacy of dunces, if it is just a bunch of balkanized states all around that do their own thing, but then they can get together when there's billions of dollars on the line, but for no other reason, that allows them to keep the amateur model in play. And I usually live my life, and I opine with Hanlon's razor in mind, which is never attribute to malice what can be explained by stupidity. At this point, we're so far into the NCAA model being so obviously flawed, decades into knowing that amateurism is a sham at the highest levels of college football and the highest levels of college basketball, the sport that actually make money in the NCAA, that it has to be malice. That's that these people cannot be deliberately naive. Now, they can pretend to be deliberately naive as to allow themselves the opportunity to continue to profit off of unpaid labor. And I'm not somebody who is, you know, really banging the drum. I don't really care all that much. So long as, you know, I get games on Saturday, like, I don't care if they're played or not. I think it's right that they get paid. It's ridiculous to me that you have billion-dollar industries with unpaid labor. That seems illegal, just inherently illegal to me, but here we are. And I'm not somebody who, you know, really rallies and writes a column once a week about this stuff. It's just not something that I feel extremely strongly about. But it's fairly clear to me from my perspective that these guys are tanking a season in order to keep their amateurism model alive. And Gene Smith said the quiet part out loud, the AD of Ohio State last week, 6 days before they shut it all down. They went full Tapper, shut it down. They were all ready to go. The Pac-12, the Big Ten, they were ready separate, basically the Big Ten. And then the Pac-12 decided, oh, that seems like a good idea. We want to look smart too. They decided we're going to just play conference only. And that was totally fine and acceptable by their epidemiological standards. Somehow 6 days later, it's not safe enough to play. And we go back to the apartment building, right? What the hell did you learn in 6 days that you didn't learn over the course of 6 months, 8 months?
Right.
I mean, how long have we known about this thing? The issue is, in those 6 days, you have players basically realizing, hey, we don't have a seat at this table. We would like a seat at this table. We would like to be able to, you know, get something out of it. We would like to be able to negotiate on how we're going to bring college football back, because you kind of need us. And college football's power brokers, in many regards, and I do think that the dominoes will fall in the SEC and the Big 12. And I don't think we're going to have college football at all this season, because ultimately,
that's a take. Okay,
I tell you, these conferences are going to have to admit that the athletes have rights. In order for them to have a season, they're going to have to admit that the athletes have rights. And if you do that, it is a slippery slope. And within years, the amateurism model is gone. And I say good riddance to the amateurism model. But when you have been making billions of dollars on the whole, and you have people making millions of dollars for part-time work, that's what some of these bowl guys are making. Millions of CEOs of bowls make $1 million a year at the high end for a part-time job, for a quote-unquote...
Well, hold on. The Cheez-Its Bowl is one of my favorites, and I will not allow you to disparage the people who put on that beautiful bowl game every single year.
I'm telling you right now, they're crooks. They're crooks.
That could be a future sponsor of this podcast that you're just wrecking for me. The Cheez-Its produced
don't worry,
Chase Thomas podcast, and you're over here just slandering the Cheez-Its mania.
If they play college football this year, college football is over as we know it. If they don't, they might stand a chance of being able to run this thing back in a year or two. under the same model that they were going to go into this year with. But if they actually have to play this year, that means that they have to admit that the athletes have rights, and they just opened up a legal Pandora's box that they will never be able to close again. So I honestly think that this is all an elaborate ruse. Gene Smith, again, coming out, very respected athletic director, runs one of the five most profitable athletic departments in the entire country, saying that the science won't allow us to play. No, the science has been unequivocally, it's been clear since for months. It's been clear for months. And you guys were totally fine with the science 6 days ago. The difference is these athletes said we have rights and you don't want to acknowledge it. So I think that that is the real issue at hand. It's not the science. It's, they're going to blame the heart issues. They don't even have a control. Those kids, honestly, I'm not trying to disparage anybody. I understand that the disease is very serious and all that. But we don't know how good those kids' hearts were beforehand. I'm not saying that you should just push full steam ahead or anything like that. But like that being the excuse is so flimsy compared to everything else that's going on and compared to, again, having to admit that your model is fundamentally prejudiced against your unpaid labor, as if being unpaid labor wasn't prejudiced enough. Like I just can't imagine how the SEC is going to be able to finally weave through that logical dissonance that they're going to have to pull off. I just don't know how you do that. And if you do that, maybe they're totally cool with just going down that slope. I don't think a lot of conferences, and clearly the Big Ten and the Pac-12, aren't comfortable with admitting that athletes have rights. So I don't think we get college football this year. And when it comes back, just like with the apartment complex, it was a great analogy. We keep going back to a tremendous analogy.
It's a great analogy. I'm telling you.
When they shut it down without a plan, they just shut it down because everyone else was shutting it down. They didn't know. No one knew. To be fair, you had to do some knee-jerk stuff at the beginning of this bad boy. But when you shut it down and you have no plan to open it back up again, that just means that basically it closed for good. And now you have to start a brand new apartment complex, a brand new company, a brand new conference, because everything is open now to negotiation, just in the same way we saw in Major League Baseball, just in the same way we saw in the NFL. Like the CBA is wide open. There is no CBA in college football. That means the entire model is up for debate before we can start again. And I think that the Big Ten and the Pac-12, while trying to look like they were virtuous in an effort to hold on to the amateurism model, at the same time also completely screw themselves over, because there's no way they can restart without admitting that there are rights involved on top of that. So good luck to college football. I think it's dead.
We love the optimism on a Friday.
I know. Love to run into our weekend with college football is dead. Thanks, Dieter.
I love college football as much as the next guy. Something else will replace it. We love football too much in this country.
Why are you rooting for the coronavirus, Dieter? Why are you rooting for sports to be canceled? Why are you and the people in the media?
The irony of all of this is I am probably the most bullish person re the coronavirus going away faster than most people think in the entire sports media landscape. That's not a complete huckster lunatic. And maybe I'm a complete huckster lunatic. I mean, maybe I've been accused of such once or twice, but that's kind of not my shtick. I feel fairly positive about, I mean, clearly not how it's handled a complete effing mess, but ultimately we kind of backdoored our way into a Swedish model by not knowing what the hell we were doing. And the Swedish model kind of looks like it's working. I don't know. So I'm optimistic about, you know, the coronavirus and it going away and us getting back to some semblance of normalcy in the meantime. But the one thing that I've always said about this disease, and this applies very much to just the world around us, it's an accelerator. Everything stopped, and we can all look at it from that realm. What it did was it took anything that was going to happen in 5 years and it made it happen in one. It took anything that was going to happen in 10 and it made it happen in two. It's an accelerating force. And I saw this because I work for a newspaper. Were newspapers going to have some grand revival in 5-10 years? Hell no. But guess what? The reckoning came a little bit earlier. It's just an accelerator. Retail stores across the country. We've been talking about the retail apocalypse for the last 5 years. Guess what? It's here. It's now. There's something twisted, but almost, you know, positive about just how, you know, quick everything went to hell, because it was kind of already, if it was heading in that direction, it just accelerated it. And I almost prefer to just rip the Band-Aid off than drag this bad boy out with a more typical recession, if you will. But I'm still optimistic that things are going to bounce back to whatever degree they can bounce back, whichever industries and such survive. But let's not forget that the path toward the NCAA model completely collapsing in on itself was already well on the tracks. And so if we're talking about coronavirus being an accelerator, guess what? If it was 5 years before they were going to have this moment of reckoning, it's here now. If it was 10, guess what? They'll have it next year when they have to restart after everything shuts down this year. Like it's just an accelerator. Things that were inevitable are now present. And I almost find comfort in that truth, at least truth as far as I believe it.
It's a good way of spinning it, the comfort part. I was hoping you were going to land on something positive. There's some comfort there. All right. I like it. Dear God, Dieter.
I think that the developmental league of the NFL is going to be a wild hit. So let's look forward to that playing in college football stadiums across the country.
Mm. Kelly, any final thoughts on what's going to happen?
I don't know. That was way better articulated than I can ever say, as my brain was in 18 different ways. When you look at what's going on, one of the, silver linings of all this is being able to see, regardless of whether you think college football should happen or not, seeing, those athletes like Trevor Lawrence and all of them unite so quickly. It happened so fast. I was off my phone for a bit and then back on my phone Sunday night. And suddenly we had this college football uprising, whether you think they should play or not, or they're going to get to play or not, or whatever. It was really, good, for lack of a better word, to see all of, those college athletes uniting and being able to say, hey, we're not just 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. Like, we have rights, we have thoughts, we have visions, and we can unite them all within an hour or two. Like, look at us go. It's adults my age, 29, 30 years old, we take forever to organize. You get a group chat going, it takes 5 hours to pick where you're going for dinner. But these kids that are, 18, especially girls, especially me and my girlfriends, you take forever, But you get these college kids, they united within a few hours and they were like, we want to play and we want to play now. And then we woke up Monday morning and, I felt like the world was on fire even more so than it was when I went to bed Sunday. But it was reassuring to see, all right, these kids really do have thoughts, and they are thoughts that are going to be change the landscape of college sports. So I want college football to happen as a selfish lover of it, and as someone who can imagine my life without it, but I just don't know if there's a path forward, especially when we do see a team, a league like the MLB, which had also a wild, they have adults at the table, full-blown real adults trying to figure it out, and they still kind of messed it up. Right. Even though it's technically still going on, but they've definitely, last week I texted one of my colleagues. I'm like, no way baseball lasts.
Well, hold on. The Cardinals have played five games this season. I don't know what you're trying to say here, that the Cardinals are only 17 games back of the Cubs in the NL Central.
Right,
things are fine.
Marlins, my beloved Marlins, I'm a Miami gal, and we're always the laughing stock of everything Florida is these days. But the Marlins then went on that winning streak, and I was like, all right, something to appreciate. But no, I think seeing college kids unite in something, whether you believe they should play or not, or they're going to get screwed over or not, seeing that happen was a silver lining in this. But again, I can't think about not having college football because it makes me want to, chug a bottle of wine, which I already do. But
exactly.
So those are my less than articulate thoughts on that.
Kelly, we're gonna have the fish in the playoffs come October. We'll be covered. It's all good.
No, we're not. The Braves are fine. They're gonna be okay. What are you talking about? We're not talking into the Marlins. And no, Derek Jeter is not getting a playoff team. Absolutely not. Not gonna happen.
So naive. What you don't realize is that coronavirus antibodies make you even better at baseball. Everyone turns into Mike Trout with coronavirus antibodies, so don't let him
sure, there you go. But the positive uplifting part of this, the antibodies, bigger than people can imagine.
Antibody
all-star. The antibody all-stars, that dark times. The NBA playoffs looks like we're all set. The Grizzlies still stumbled their way in. to the playoffs. We had, there's a good piece in the Ringer from Roger Sherman about just putting the Suns in for going undefeated. And Monty Williams had that amazing post game speech last night, after their game before the Nets Grizz game, but, or the Nets Blazers game. And, yeah, it's, we're getting Blazers and, Grizzlies. This has been great. This is, like said, Adam Silver said, like, this has gone a lot better than even he had predicted it was going to be. I've enjoyed all of it. Now we're actually getting to playoff basketball, and now it's going to get crazy. And I think I'm excited, but there are a lot of storylines, like Russell Westbrook missing a couple games. How does that affect the stuff with the Thunder? Because we're getting James Harden versus CP3 in round one, which is crazy. Luka versus Kawhi. I think we're over talking about the Grizzlies and Blazers stuff in the Dame time, and it's a great story, but like, they're still getting curb stomped by the Lakers in round one. Like, I don't think they're winning a game. Yeah. Whoever gets that 8-speed, like, yeah. It's fun for right now, but the idea that like this is going to be a Cinderella story is just kind of silly to me. But it has to happen. The Nuggets and Jazz are definitely getting demoted to NBA TV. We have MAGA porn joiner.
10 a.m. Pacific.
Yeah, like, there's no way anyone's watching that. I'm not watching Royce O'Neal pull up from 35. Like, it's going to be a hard pass for me.
Definitely.
I don't know. And then we get TJ Warren versus Jimmy Butler. Like, that's happening over a first-round series, too. Like, this is... The NBA playoffs are here,
right,
and I'm excited about it.
Actually. Isn't it? Oh, no, it's next week.
Yeah, they're battling it out for seeding that doesn't matter.
Yes. Well, like, I mean, I think it kind of matters. I think matchups matter, not the home field stuff, but I do think matchups matter, and certain teams are like...
I totally understand you with matchups matter. Like, the 4 and 5 seeds in the Eastern Conference, as we speak, are locked in. Mm. And the Pacers and the Heat are still playing each other today in a battle to figure out who will be the 4 seed and who will be the 5 seed. And
that part,
whatsoever.
No.
Also, if you look at the injury report for the Heat-Pacers game today, I just pulled it up, and...
Yeah.
The Heat, my team, the Heat have five. We have 5 people out, and the Pacers have 5 people out. So
it's going to be a great game.
Someone get some Washington Wizards out there. Get them some more runs. Lord knows they needed to be invited.
God, I'm so glad I don't have to watch Rui Hachimura and log on to Twitter.com and see people like, Rui's got some stuff. No, Rui Hachimura sucks. He's going to suck. He's not good at anything. And the idea that he can be developed into a Giannis or whoever is insanity. I hate the Rui Hachimura conversation. It's one of the dumbest.
I have a soft spot in my heart for the Wizards, but none of the players that even were in the bubble, so we can move on past that.
There you go. Well, now that it's all set.
More of the apprentices.
Yeah, there you go. Who do you see, like, after you, like, we're going into the standings, like, when you're forecasting how this is all going to unfold, where are you leaning?
Well, let's go. There are 4 teams. Obviously, each of them has flaws. And because that's what I do in life, I point out everyone else's flaws as to project away from my own. I will go through all of these teams and their flaws, and then I will pick you a winner. How about that? There's the rubric. The Lakers' backcourt defense is going to be challenging. There's a reason that a lot of people are stupidly picking the Blazers to challenge them. I think it will be a gentlemanly sweep, but they can't stop anybody. They can't stop Lakers. They can't do it. And I was impressed by Frank Vogel. Finally deciding maybe we should play Anthony Davis at the 5. Towards the end there, and LeBron is obviously a god amongst men, but I'm deeply concerned about a team that's relying on Kyle Kuzma. So I don't know. I'm not high on the Lakers right now. The Clippers should win it all. Everything about the Clippers on paper says that they're the best team. I firmly believe that wings are everything in the postseason. I think they're everything in basketball in general, but in the postseason, that's even more obvious. They have Kawhi, a guy who can get you a tough bucket late. They have Paul George, who can't do that, but he can certainly, you know, help you out for the first 40 or so minutes of the game.
Subtle shots fired. I like it.
They're both impressive wing defenders. I think that they're in pretty good health.
So these are your top two Western Conference teams, Lakers and Clippers.
Yeah, but here's my thing about the Clippers, right? I'll get brief. It's not my normal style, but I'll do it for you guys. My concern is I haven't seen them play hard or you know, really quality basketball, like to the level that they can play it in months, like since January. Yeah. And even then, I'm like, I don't know. Like, a lot of stuff has happened clearly since January. And I covered the, I still cover the Warriors. I tried not to this year because they sucked. But they used to have this thing like, we're going to flip the switch. And sometimes, you know, the switch was a little sticky. And it took a little while for them to actually give a damn. And they would eventually get there because they're the damn Warriors. But, like, I don't know if the Clippers can just flip the switch. So I think if they can rev it up to 100%, they're going to win the championship. But I still hold out reservations on their ability to just turn it on, because I would have liked to have seen it for, I don't know, a half of basketball in the eight games preceding the playoffs. That would have been convenient to me. I think the Bucks have I think the Bucks are fairly flawed, but Giannis could just turn it on, and frankly, everybody's flawed, so maybe their flaws are lesser because, again, Giannis. And then I think we're all sleeping on the Rockets a little bit.
Oh, you're Westbrook, speaking my language. Before the Westbrook injury, yes.
Before the Westbrook injury, like, I think if no one's going to play defense, then I want the team with the best offense. And the five out system, for as flawed as it can be, I mean, damn it if it doesn't work. And if they can just, you know, crash the glass a little bit better, I just have a hard time seeing a lot of teams outscoring the Rockets. And two other things with Houston, you know, I've been in that building, Toyota Center, the last couple of years when the Warriors have basically been on the ropes and the Rockets could knock them out. And there's not a belief in that building that it's going to work out for the Houston Rockets. I mean, the soul-crushing style of basketball. I'm telling you, the soul-crushing style of basketball crushed the soul of all the Rockets fans. And they're real gung-ho and positive and all that. But then when the going gets tough, they're like, ah, shit, we lost our chance. Like, it's all over for us. And I'm like, you guys are up by 12. Like, I'm looking at it's bad vibes in that building. They don't have to deal with that. Mm-hmm. And then they won't have to deal with road crowd, and particularly road whistles. Where James Harden, whose entire game is trying to get to the line, like, he's going to get a fair whistle. Like, he's going to get one the entire series, and it's every series, because it's in Orlando in a bubble. So I don't think playoff, you know, rules are going to be as strongly enforced. And I think that maybe we're sleeping on the Rockets a little bit, because if they're just going to get to continue to play regular season basketball, they're pretty good at regular season basketball. I like their odds.
Kelly, what do you think?
Oh, were you done? Okay. But you didn't say anything about the Eastern Conference.
Oh, well, the Eastern Conference doesn't matter, because the Eastern Conference isn't winning the title. No one in the Eastern Conference is winning the title. It doesn't even matter. If we just simmed it up to whoever they're getting curb stomped by in the West, like, that's fine. Like, no one in the Eastern Conference is winning the NBA championship. I will quit this podcast if someone from the Eastern Conference wins it this year. There is no real contender. Oh my God.
Everyone's talking themselves into these Eastern Conference teams. And I'm like, have you watched the Eastern Conference recently? Listen, it's not as bad as it once was, but it ain't good.
That's no.
I'm just going to go through pick who I like and don't like. I'm looking at like the setup. So Lakers, obviously you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis, but I agree. I watch them. You can't rely on Kyle Kuzma, and I feel as if they still haven't gotten in a rhythm where both AD and LeBron are able to shine together, which I get. It's hard to have two superstars. We've seen it forever and ever, but I think the only thing that makes them truly like sweep, 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 sweep title is when the two of them are in sync. Like, you can't rely on AD to have an amazing game when LeBron has an off game, even though LeBron's off games are still everyone's best game, right? And you can't, and vice versa. Yeah. And I think also it would be a good storybook ending to a bizarre NBA season that, if we recall, Kobe Bryant died in January. It feels like it happened 8 years ago, but I think it would be, and regardless about how you feel about Kobe in his past, like, I'd be remiss not to bring that up, but I was a Kobe Bryant fan. I'm a fan of excellence and greatness. And I think that would be really a good kind of poetic sort of ending to this bizarre NBA season if the Lakers go on and win, which I agree, they probably are. For me, they're the team that's going to win. When I watch the Clippers that I've watched in the bubble, that's, I guess, the next team I consider the threat. I feel like they're never in sync. I know that they had a ton of guys out, but I feel like they're just never vibing. They just don't look like this team that is vibing. I know they have threats from all different angles, but to me, they're not vibing. Again, everyone else I don't really care about, but I am a James Harden lover and worshiper, and I adore him thoroughly, which I know is controversial and bizarre, but I just have this very soft spot for James Harden. I'm sorry.
No, you don't need to apologize for something that you feel is true in your heart.
I like people that paint their own, you know, they go down their own path and they paint their own way. And I know that he emphasizes that a lot because people give him crap for stepping outside of the box. So he's obviously going to embrace it because that's his like MO. But I don't know. I like him. I think he's great. I love watching him play. Although it's horrible when he misses like 5 threes in a row. And I'm like, just let's stop taking those and we can drive to the basket.
Yeah.
But I do think.
Maybe go back inside that box, baby.
Yeah. And just drive to the basket, play normal basketball. But I think. I would love to see the Rockets come up and surprise everyone because I do think their window is closing. Like, James has been in the league for a long time. Like, that window might close pretty soon, bud. And then in the Eastern Conference, I mean, I'm from Miami, and the Heat were really crappy for the past 2 years, and now they're doing really well. And they have these players, once again, that everyone blinked and didn't look at once, especially with Bam and especially with Kendrick Nunn. Like, I love that team. I love that coach. I love Jimmy Butler's antics. I love Udonis Haslam getting paid millions to do nothing. I will stick by my Heatles, and if they somehow make a run, and they're not going to, but if they do, I would love to see them come out of the Eastern Conference. And just, I feel like for some reason, ever since the decision, ever since LeBron was on our team, we still have this bullseye on our back for people just to hate on us. Like, everything we do, there's something wrong. So... Yeah. I'm only cheering for one team in the Eastern Conference, and that's the Heat.
I'm with you on that. I do hope that the Heat succeed because when they're on, they're as entertaining.
But, yeah, like
they. Yeah,
I mean,
that's a pretty tough call.
I texted my friend the other day, and I was like, I know that they were winning the game, and I texted her, and I was like, I know that they're winning right now, and they're. You know, they don't have the Kyries and the KDs on them. I was like, but the Nets are not enjoyable to watch. Like, they don't play enjoyable basketball. I'm not really a big Giannis fan. He doesn't do it for me. And then,
okay.
I mean, so yeah, when I think about the Eastern Conference, I'm like, even if I wasn't from Miami, the Heat are the team that I'm going to pick to kind of, we're just the most consistent. We're deep. We have great coaching. Like, when you have Eric Spoelstra on your bench, it's a threat. So those are my thoughts. Yeah.
Some other great coaches on the Eastern Conference with Toronto and Boston. Like, so coaching advantage while Spoelstra is as good as it gets, like Nick Nurse and Brad Stevens, like pretty damn good too. And those are two pretty good teams as well. Yeah. I think the Eastern Conference playoffs could be really fun and interesting. It's just going to be kind of a bloodbath when we get to the finals, unless it's Giannis.
Oh,
and then Giannis has to do it first.
Yeah. I also always forget about the Raptors, and I don't know why. Like, I know they are actually a great team without Kawhi Leonard on them, but I always just, like, I just looked down at the list. I was looking at, like, the dates and the orders of when all the games start, and I was like, oh, my God, I completely forget about Toronto, even though, like, I can name all their players, and I am a Kyle Lowry fan. Like, I appreciate them without – I know that they're good without Kawhi, but I just – they are definitely one of those teams where you kind of, like, forget about them, and then you're like, oh, crap, you're actually good.
I just question who's going to like take a tough shot for them down the stretch because let's be honest, like they won the championship last year.
Stanley Johnson, obviously,
and they're worthy champion. Yeah, but like that team had real tight buttholes for the first three rounds of last year's playoffs, and Kawhi had to just carry them round by round into the finals, and then they turned it on.
Who's taking over and who's bleeding and sweating and crying for the Raptors right now? I'm not sure if there's someone right.
Fred VanVleet, baby.
You know. There's 7 people on the Heat that'll do that. But, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's Jimmy Butler, Jimmy Butler, Jimmy Butler, Jimmy Butler, and Jimmy Butler. Like, Jimmy Butler's, like, the war daddy. Like honestly, that's what it comes down to. Who is your wing who you want to just take over a game? Because if it's not a wing, it doesn't matter. And we saw this, you know, as much as everyone talks about Steph Curry and stuff with the Warriors, like, it was Kevin Durant. It was Klay Thompson sometimes. Like, you have to have a wing. And I look at Boston, you go, Jason Tatum could be that guy. You look at the Bucks, I don't know what the hell Giannis is, but he certainly probably qualifies as a wing considering how long
he's headbutting.
Jimmy Butler.
We know what Giannis is doing. He's headbutting people.
That was a good flop, like, though. That was a really good flop.
The Lakers have that guy. The Clippers have that guy. I don't know if the Rockets have that guy, but James Harden might transcend it. But, best wing wins. So whoever you think the best wing is probably wins the championship.
Do you know what I'm going to miss?
Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond in the playoffs. I'm really gonna miss that. I don't like that they're just not around. I thought about that today, where it just feels weird that they're just not involved at all in the playoffs.
Right.
How do you think I feel? That's the team I cover. I got nothing to do. I had forgotten how beautiful basketball could be because I had to watch the Warriors all damn year. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, let's be honest, the bubble didn't exactly like rise to the standard of the playoffs. But then thank God, I mean, you're not wrong about the Nets, but like, thank God they tried hard last night because that was very enjoyable. I forgot how much I love offensive rebounding because I hadn't seen it in more than a calendar year. Like, what a novel concept. It's almost as if it makes
last night's game was great. Yeah, the game was great. Fantastic. I was like, I didn't even care that everyone was virtual. I was like, this is great.
That's where I'm at. Offensive rebounding, good stuff.
I mean, shout out to him. It's great. So final predictions, and we'll move to our last thing real quick with Joe Kelly, who is just one of my favorite human beings on the planet right now.
I'm so bad at predictions. I always try to be creative and cool, and I fail. So I'm
well. That's your first mistake. Never be creative and cool, Kelly. It's overrated.
Yeah, I also hate when it's like in March Madness. It's like in March Madness or fantasy football where I'm like, okay, I know these sports better than 99% of anyone I know. And then I try to get creative and cool with my predictions or who I draft for fantasy football. And then my friend that knows not left from right ends up winning. And I'm like, this is why I don't try, because I know everything about sports and you know nothing. And yet you still predicted everything perfectly. It's like sometimes knowing too much backfires.
I say that about myself all the time, Tim. It makes me feel better as well. Now, give me the Clippers. I don't know if they can flip the switch. I have a hard time seeing two wings of their caliber going down. It's all about wings, baby, and they got two of the top five. So, give me the Clippers.
Yeah.
I'm still going Lakers. Yeah, I can't shake the Lakers. It feels very Lakery to me. This whole bubble just feels like LeBron is just ensuring that he and Anthony Davis get a ring this year. Like, this is his mission.
LeBron walked out with his shirt unbuttoned and made the Instagram say Orlando Vice, which is something no one from Florida has ever uttered those words. He's definitely winning the ring. And like, I know, again, we're still so torn on LeBron and we hate him, we love him, we hate him, we love him. And I went down the hate him path for a long time, but like, he's just so damn good. And I just, because he left the Heat. And we really need to appreciate how damn good that man is. Like, he's been in the league 17 years doing what he's doing. Like, I want him to get it. And again, I think it would be a great way to cap a very crappy year when you think about the Kobe stuff. And then you think about how the world turned upside down for 6 months. I think it would be a good thing.
Yeah. And then we can have some clutch points, photoshops of Kobe, ghost Kobe looking over on LeBron and like just unbelievable stuff there. So we have
the coronavirus hanging around.
Yeah. Last thing real quick, Joe Kelly, obviously did some fantastic work trolling Carlos Correa and the Houston Astros a few weeks back. He got suspended, but he also decided, you know what, I'm gonna go ahead and unload on my real feelings on a podcast this week about the Houston Astros. I have a Houston Astros shirt that I rock every now and then. It's incredible.
Giddy up.
The Houston Astros. So let me read some quick quotes from him, and then I would like to get y'all's perspective on this and how much of this is fair. He said, when you take someone's livelihood to save your own ass, that's what I don't like. Cheating? They cheated. Everyone knows they're cheaters. They know they're cheaters. It's over. That's been there, done that. But now they mess it up by ruining other people's lives, so they fucked it up twice. When you taint someone's name to save your own name, this is one of the worst things you could probably do. That really friggin' bugs me. I think I'll be irritated forever. Staying mad online forever. Joe Kelly just holding the lifelong grudge. Shout out to him for just internalizing that anger and just being like, you know what? I'm going to be pissed for the rest of my life. That's called true sportsmanship right there, folks. That you could never imagine, that kind of competitiveness. The people who took the fall for what happened is nonsense. Yes, everyone is involved, but the way that sign stealing system was run over, there was not from coaching, from the coaching staff. They're not the head boss in charge of that thing. It's the players. So now the players get the immunity, and all they do is go and snitch like a little bitch, and they don't have to get fined. They don't have to lose games. He just, I love it. No filter, does not care. He is he's great. I'm a big fan. And then shout out to Joe Kelly and skinny tall guys everywhere. This is maybe part of the reason I like him. Us skinny tall lanky people, we have feelings too. We are people too. And he said
The boohoo face was the best.
The boohoo face was incredible. They have a manager, Dusty Baker, on their side, verbatim yelling at me, "Get your little skinny ass on the mound." So my cuss words get 8 games and his cuss words get 0? That makes complete sense, right? Welcome to planet Earth. A debacle. What a just an ending. A debacle. Love it. Joe Kelly. Go ahead and put him in the hall. I'm ready.
Hey, it's that name Kelly, man. It's the name Kelly. We got
That's what it is.
It,
people
it's
forget.
The first name or the last name.
Oh, my God. It was incredible. So what do y'all think about that?
Joe Kelly started the year by breaking one of his own windows, and he's now breaking everyone else's windows. It's truly fantastic.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, no, I mean, I think I remember when he got suspended, and after I saw that, and everyone was like, really? Like, they're getting more games than any of the players got? And I was like, I think that's, like, you don't even really need to say anything else. The players get no suspension, and Joe Kelly gets a suspension for boohoo face. And throw, like, I was like, yeah, that's how you know that the world is a debacle, right? Like, that's like the baseline crappiness of the situation that he got suspended and Astros players didn't. But I like that he spoke out on it, and I find everything he said is true, right? Like, that's everything is fact. So I spot the lie because I spot none.
Do you guys believe in karma?
No.
Yeah.
I don't either, but I really wish that I did because if I did, I would feel like, God damn, it's coming down hard on the Astros this year. Maybe it is. They're not very good right now. Like, they've only really been able to beat bad teams. But those guys suck, and they deserve all the bad things that the universe is about to throw at them. Like, I really think that. Because it's one thing to cheat, okay? And let's not be naive and pretend as if other teams aren't cheating and maybe they didn't have as good of an algorithm or something. And the Astros are unquestionably exceptionally talented with or without cheating. Or at least they were when they won the World Series. It's how unrepentant they were about the cheating that makes it so aggravating. Like, their owner basically being like, we fucking do it again. It's like, get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Guy, Crane Kenny, or whatever. Like, we do it again. It's like, it's so long as they got that one trophy, which, by the way, they're going to have an all-time great roster, and they're going to get one trophy out of this whole deal because, again, karma.
Hold on. The Braves won 14 straight division titles and got one title. Like, the baseball is a mean, cruel thing.
Is that not an indictment on the Braves in a way? Like, isn't that what's kind of remembered? Like, the Braves were this dynastic team every year, count on them for the playoffs. Everyone knew the Braves were in the playoffs every year, and they only won one title. That seems to be a larger narrative than the fact that they won 14 straight division titles.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
It's sad, but, like, that's kind of the truth. So.
Well, thanks, Dieter. More positivity.
I'm just up to my here's my positivity, man. The Astros, the universe will conspire against the Astros, and they will get all of the bad things that they deserve. And we can laugh at them because not only did they cheat and deserve punishment, but they were also assholes about it. And so now there's no barrier whatsoever in us laughing at their failures. So bring it on. Bring it on. Bring it on, universe. Lay some more on it just so the Astros get it.
I think the concept of cheating and being able to succeed at cheating, right? Like, they did the cheating well. Like, they won. So, like, they cheated well. But then getting caught and then not having any sort of, right, like, being like, hey, well, we cheated and it worked, so screw y'all. That's the messed up part. And I do agree about that.
You just wish you cheated this well.
Yeah, like, you're like, y'all jealous that you couldn't cheat as good as we did. Yeah, we got caught, but we did it right. And I think that kind of, like, unabashed, like, kiss our ass attitude. And then again, the fact that the players, right, get granted immunity and, you know, Joe Kelly gets suspended however many games for that it's very ironic. But as we talked about earlier with the MLB screwing up right now and not having a great bubble and, you know, the players going out and partying or going to the bars and then getting COVID, like, there's just some questionable things going on in that league, but
there you go. Just not questionable things. That's a great way to wrap up. Things great. Everything is going well, folks. Sports are great. The world's great. Everything in the atmosphere is great. We're ready for the weekend. So I'm glad I chose Kelly and Dieter to come on this podcast and just ruin my Friday. So that good
I'm
selection.
I'm positive.
You should have known better with
positive
me.
Girl.
You should have known better with me.
I should have known. Guys, what can we check out from you this week on ESPN and Mercury News?
Oh, God. I'm working on some longer term things, but I had a really good story this week about athletes that have diabetes, how they're feeling coming back amid COVID without a vaccine. So that went up on Wednesday, but you know, still out working on some longer term things and trying to find news that's like a little bit more optimistic. Again, as we were talking about the pessimism, and yes, sports are back, even though they're back in a weird way, but just trying to find like some good fun stories where even if everything's burning around us, we can still maybe like dance for a little bit. So honestly, I'm all ears. Anyone listening has any fun story ideas, like send them my way. I like to be out of the box.
And while Kelly does that, I'm going to be bringing spicy, hot, pessimistic takes all day, every day. That's what I do. Thank God there's balance in the universe for that. Yeah, honestly, I'm the only one willing to speak these truths that everything sucks. I'll figure something out. Giants and A's are playing this weekend.
Perfect.
I can't wait. But I have
really
to write
excited.
On it.
Really excited for some Jeff Samardzija.
I want to go
highlights.
National again.
Yeah.
Let me go national again. Thanks,
right.
Chase. Appreciate you having me on. Hope you feel better.
Okay. You know what? Yeah, there's like a Miller High Life bottle waiting for me. So that's exactly what I'm doing after I leave this. And I'm going to brew.
I'm popping by my friend's house with my dog, and she goes, "You like cider, right?" I'm like, "I'm on my way."
There we go.
I got some Busch Lights in the fridge. Let's boogie.
There we go. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
All right. Have a good weekend. Thank you.
This is Ben Ingram, radio voice of the Atlanta Braves, and I'm here to tell you that you've reached the end of today's episode of the Chase Thomas Podcast. As a friend of the podcast, I'd like to say thank you for listening to today's episode and hope you return for the next one. To show your support for the program, tell a friend or coworker or even a family member about the program. And if you're an Apple Podcast listener, leave the show a rating and a review. Goes a long way. That'll do it for me. But don't forget to listen to myself and the rest of the team at 680 The Fan and the Braves Radio Network this season. Go Braves!
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code Program.